Here we go. It's Hour 1, G-Bag Nation on 105.3 The Fan. Thanks for making us part of your day. It is nice to be back in the saddle here inside North Texas. General at your service at ease. There's brought us the former Cowboy Scout Super Bowl champion, Lucius Alexander, in the Pimp Cup Master Control here, 75 and Fitzhugh, fixing for 4.5 flawless. Rangers-Yankees coming up pregame at 6:30. Woolchuck is here. Salute to you. Send Chief some love on social media. Let him know that he is missed. Taking a family day again, right? Doing the family thing?
Yeah, he'll be back Thursday.
Right on. Salute to Chief. And Carter Freeman's coordinating your video. You can watch us at 105.3thefan.com, Twitch, and on YouTube. At least the Rangers didn't get swept by Seattle. That's all I asked for on Friday. Can we win one of these? Because you don't want to be coming in here down four. And, you know, down two to the Mariners, fine. You know, it wasn't fun, but... Heck, they swept two series going into this last week. Now they've dropped 5 of 7, so it's time to get this thing turned around. And who better to do that against than the Yankees with CY coming up at 4:20. There is a lot of meat on this baseball conversation, a bone. Couple of Cowboys updates for you real quick. Tyler Smith's going to be fine. His day off was more about maintenance, and he could do more today. I saw him running onto the field, so it looks like Tyler Smith going to be okay with that knee tendonitis. And Lyle Collins going to continue to be ramped up, spend some time at right tackle with some ability to move inside, Brian.
Yeah, this is these are some of the thoughts. And I asked Will McClay about this. I'm like, hey, where are you planning on playing him? And he said that he goes, listen, he's got some position versatility, a little banged up along our offensive line. So he's got to be ready at a couple of different spots. But right tackle is clearly a place that he would be comfortable at. I think that he brings, you know, watching that workout, and I was impressed. Usually these offensive linemen, you just kind of like watch the workouts and they're slow footed. They're out of shape. They look stiff and tired and not good. And you're like, well, I don't want to sign this guy. But Lyle Collins was the complete opposite of that. So, you know, if I was one of those pro personnel guys standing there and say, well, what would you think, Brian? I said, I'd sign this guy because he brings you toughness. He looks healthy. That's the number one thing. He doesn't look out of shape and fat and, you know, and he's just looks like he's ready to play football. And at 32 years old, I'm glad they're giving him a chance. He's got a lot of power to him and a lot of toughness.
Quality depth there at right tackle behind Terrence Steele after the other tackle got hurt, right? He's a 4 to 6 weeks guy.
Yeah, they've struggled. Well, that was
Rob Jones.
Rob Jones was a guard. He was a guard that got hurt. They got Adeniji back.
Okay.
Adeniji was the that had suffered the concussion, so he's back practicing now. So they've got some, like they say, they've got a couple of different ways that they could play this. They didn't move Adeniji around, you know, when matter of fact, he stayed at right tackle. I thought maybe since he'd been practicing so well for Steele that they were going to move him to left tackle with the Guyton injury, but no, they kept everybody in the same spot. So Blau's just going to be part of part of competing for that. I think it's a really good thing, and I said it on my YouTube channel this morning that when you have a veteran player and you play in preseason games and say he gets opportunities to play in the second half of preseason games, when you're trying to evaluate a quarterback and maybe your wide receiver and maybe some runners, it's always good to have a veteran offensive lineman in there that kind of knows, you know, he's not going to mess things up. You're going to get, you know, sometimes you get young linemen in there and that you can't evaluate because quarterback's running for his life or there's no, you know, they don't get the block they need in the running game. So it's important to have a couple of veteran guys. And this is kind of what I think Lyle Collins is going to do for you.
Right on. Micah Parsons is at practice. He came out in a hoodie. He has since put a jersey on over the hoodie. Fans continuing to voice their support and their desire for wanting to see Parsons get done. You know, it was fun listening to Fred and Majors today, and I think a lot of people have the same feeling that this thing is going to get done and Mike is going to be a Cowboy for a long time, and I do believe that. I just think the gap between what they could give him and what he's asking for is too big, and the compromise, I think, might be perceived by Micah as a slap in the face. So I expect this to go into the season and maybe even in next year as well under the franchise tag, but you know, who knows? These things can move very quickly, and it's never quite clear how the player is looking at it and how much relief he wants from it. The Cowboys have what they call a high tolerance for ambiguity. So they could drag this thing out and be perfectly fine, sleeping well at night. You know, some of the players just decide, man, if I could get this out of the way, get the guaranteed $150 million coming into me, and I can just forget about this for the next 4 years, that starts to look really, really attractive to some guys. And I guess we're about to find out, you know, if Mike is willing to do that. Coach Schottenheimer said the staff is not altering any defensive packages or game plans with the Parsons trade request hanging in the air. Quote, I expect him to be here. All right. The Rangers are now 58-55. The Yankees are in tonight. They have a better record, but the Yankees have been struggling as well. It's going to be a 6:30 pregame. The Rangers just might be cursed in Seattle, though. I don't know what to do about this. I mean, it's clear it's in their heads after that weekend watching, right? Just the crazy things. It feels like they don't have any confidence in the biggest moments.
Yeah, and I mean the base running errors that they had yesterday was just, I mean, Sam Haggerty, he doesn't slide in cleanly. Adolis Garcia, I don't know what he calls it, a brain cramp. Yeah. You know, I mean, it's just like those are things that you're beating yourself making those type of mistakes, and certainly. You know, Garcia didn't help the situation back-to-back nights. He's given up homers. So, I mean, they didn't play poorly outside of the first game. They certainly had an opportunity to win. I thought what Jack Leiter was able to do, we were watching on Friday night, outstanding, getting out of some serious jams and still being able to go out there and put them in a position to win. The guys that they traded for, like Merrill Kelly, gave up a run. Kalum and Maton have not given up any runs in their outing so far. So, like, again, it goes back to offense and how much of a leash can you now allow Joc Pederson? He's played in, I think, 7 games since he's come back, and it hasn't been good. I mean, in your pinch running for him, and that's where Haggerty ends up having the error. So, yeah, I mean, they've won 1 game in Seattle in the last year. It certainly is not a place that they've had fun, but the series in Anaheim didn't go very well either.
No, that was, you know, the fact that you go in there and a couple weeks ago, you were in Anaheim as well, and that was a 4-gamer, and you would end up splitting on that, you know, and you felt like that you needed to probably take 3, and then to allow them to win, you know, 2 out of 3, that just doesn't. Overall, I thought it was just a poor road trip, you know, for the Rangers. There were opportunities, but that's this team has got to find a way to close out those games, and Garcia had been pretty good. I mean, he'd done a nice job, but those homers were just, man, that's just the worst time to do it. I mean, luckily they didn't get snake bit on the second one, but man, the first one sure was a dagger.
Yeah, it was great. I got into the truck just in time for the Rangers to pull out the victory on Saturday evening as we got back from Oxnard. And then, you know, yesterday it was there for the taking once again. So there's a good side, bad side to it. And in baseball, you can be a very good team and have things headed your way and still have a bad week like this. Case in point, the Yankees, they're 60-52, but they've lost 3 in a row. They are now a half game ahead of Seattle in the second wild card spot. The Rangers are opening play here tonight, 2 games behind the Mariners for that third spot. It's going to be a really fun and exciting final 2 months, but I don't think the Mariners are going to pull away from you, and I don't think the Rangers have enough to, you know, pull away from either of these teams. So you got 4 teams battling for 3 spots essentially, and hopefully you're not the odd man out. You know, what a rug pull feeling though to have the optimism that we did last week at this same time.
Yeah.
To now, you know, here it's just the roller coaster ride of a baseball season. I assume DeGrom's going to be fine. His ERA since July 1 hasn't been great. You know, it's probably 4.25 now. Josh Young might be headed to the injured list again with that calf. There's nothing else you can say about him now except for he is an injury prone player. You know, and now I think you look at that and say the future of Rangers third base is up in the air, and I never thought I'd be saying this a couple of years ago.
I think so. I mean, yeah, he was a part of your World Series winning team, and there was a lot of high hope for him. But your your availability is
best ability?
Best ability, and he has not been available enough. And
I couldn't do a deal with him.
There's no way.
No.
There's no way. I mean, and you know, his – to me, that's the unfortunate thing, that there was so much promise there. And I mean, I'm just looking at it right now. It's like, I mean, you get him for what, 20, 25 games, and then something happens.
Yeah, it seems like there's always,
and then he'll be
always gone, something.
He'll be gone for another 2-3 weeks. you know, the way that works.
And then the back with Evan Carter. Like, yeah. Those are two young guys. They're supposed to be pillars of the organization.
Yeah.
And the back at 21 years old, I think that's always going to be a problem for Evan Carter as well.
Well, I thought we were going to get Terry McLaurin out of the division here over the weekend.
Me too. I was hoping for it.
Steelers were calling in. I guess it didn't work out one reason or another. One of the reports said McLaurin wants to be a number one wide receiver wherever he goes. Maybe he could be bought out of that. But whatever the case, I saw some other rumors that Dolphins, maybe a Tyreek Hill for McLaurin swap could get interesting. I don't think that'd be fun either. So Washington's obviously a very interesting team. If they follow up on last year, this division is going to be an absolute nightmare. But for now, McLaurin's still holding out. And, every market around the NFL doing conversations and topics, how could we get Micah Parsons or Terry McLaurin or both? Okay, former Cowboys wide receiver coach, University of Tennessee head coach Derek Dooley announcing he's going to run for the U.S. Senate in Georgia.
Mm-hmm.
Here coming up in this next cycle. 57-year-old, he's backed by the governor. And he's turning to Dooley after deciding to not run for the seat himself as Brian Kemp. This, of course, the Cowboys wide receiver coach about 10 years or so ago, his son, didn't he play for Highland Park with Steven's son?
He did.
So he's part of that back-to-back state championship run. And, since then, I kind of lost track of what Dooley's been up to, but he is turning towards politics, as many football coaches have in recent years.
Yeah, Brian. They sure have. And his popularity of his father, even after all these years of Vince Dooley, he was a coach a long time ago, but just the popularity of the name Dooley in the state of Georgia draws a huge advantage for him. So, he's going to step into the political ring and try and see if he could do the best for the great state of Georgia.
All righty. What else is going on in the world of sports? How about a trade? The Lynx and Wings have traded. Guard Dejounte Carrington is going to Minnesota. It's a bit of a downgrade. I mean, I guess it's summer right now, so it doesn't matter that much. Maybe you enjoy the northern temps there in the summer. But the Wings are getting forward Diamond Miller, guard Katie Samuelson, and the Lynx's 2027 round pick in exchange for Carrington. She was averaging 10 points, 5 boards for the Wings. Before joining the Wings, she was an all-defensive first-team selection in 2024. Diamond Miller's played a 2-plus season with the Lynx, averaging 7 points per game. So it does not appear to me like they got the better of this trade, Brian.
No, this is very much, and to me, I've kind of followed along on this one. They've had a lot of problems with her and the coach. Huh. There just doesn't seem to be a very connected group there when it comes to what she believes and what the front office, or I should say the coaching staff, believes. And so maybe this is one of those things that, like, you have a player that's kind of disgruntled. The losing is not good. I know the Wings are projected again to have the first overall pick. It's just been a rough year for them. But it just seemed like there was a big disconnect between her and that coaching staff. And the front office probably felt best to kind of move on from that. Yeah, they probably didn't get the value that they thought they deserved for her. But to move on from a player that's not too happy is always a probably a good thing to do.
I love getting the number one pick. It just makes the women's college tournament that much more fun.
Yeah.
Inter Miami captain Leo Messi suffered a minor muscle injury in his right leg Saturday night in the league's cup match against Necaxa at Chase Stadium in Fort Lauderdale. Timeline for his return is undetermined. He left in the 11th minute. They end up winning in penalty kicks after a late equalizer from Jordi Alba.
Yeah, and that's always interesting when you have a guy like that with his age and then having those injuries like leg injuries and things like that. You wonder maybe it'll take a little bit longer, but I'm sure everybody's gearing up excited about him possibly being back with Argentina, in that World Cup that's going to be here this next summer.
That would be awesome if he could play again in the World Cup.
We thought it was like a beautiful moment. This is the last ride.
Yeah.
And here he is 4 years later. He still might have a shot to play.
I mean, I think he can still get it done at a high level. It's just his durability and his endurance, so maybe as a first half player or a second half sub.
Right. That's exactly, could you imagine Messi in a sub in like the 65th minute.
Yeah.
I mean, boom. That's going to jolt everybody on your team. And let's say it's 1-1.
Yeah.
I mean, Messi's going to end up getting that game winner.
No doubt. They'd have to be the most watched games ever if he does, in fact, play. The NCAA is not going to expand March Madness fields in 2026. The Spurs and De'Aaron Fox hit a big extension for 229. The Longhorns and Buckeyes topping your preseason coaches poll as they head for that week one matchup. Wow. A lot of exciting stuff happening here in the world of sports.
Yeah.
We'll get the G-Bag of the Day champion on the other side, and then Wolchuk's top 10 at 220. Where are you taking it?
Yeah, we've got a poll vote. What did the people want? Top 10 most bought cookies on National Chocolate Chip Cookie Day, or the best scenes in sports movie history? We'll find out. That's next in the nation.
Yeah, buddy, welcome back. It's the G-Bag Nation on the Fan, and we have Wolchuk's Top 10 coming up in just a few minutes. Segments brought to you by the Frankels. If you've been injured in a car or truck wreck, call the Frankels first, 214 or 817-333-3333. There's never an out-of-pocket cost. They only get paid when you win. The Frankels, like, go-to car and truck wreck attorneys in Dallas. Let's go into the Pimp Cup, where Lucius has the chance.
What it do, huh? Yes, sir. Can a player get in them guts? G-Back in the Day, we do it every weekday on The Fan at 5:30. Replay the champion right about here. You caught it. You're so lucky. My name is Lucius Alexander. If you see anything floating out there, don't be afraid to hit me up with it. At Lucky Lucius P, what you guys have been doing this weekend is fantastic. Folder is locked and loaded with some great content, so don't miss that 5:30 cut. All right, this is day two for this champion audio. It's a Gavin Dawson combo pack. Smoking on that Gavin Dawson right now. Hoo-wee. Let's see. He was all over the place, but just saying some weird things. Right here, he says he's trying to purchase some guys or something like that.
We can buy Kyrie Elam.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. I'm buying it.
But can I buy multiple depth guys or busty guys all arriving and fortifying you at the same time?
That last part is just so egregious, bro.
Man, I don't know what I was thinking. That was crazy.
It got really weird at the arriving and fortifying you. Come on, bro, chill out.
California must have rubbed off on me last week. Ooh, man.
In so many ways. And here's another clip. I said it was a combo pack. What did you say here, buddy?
Tank was just a little bit more quiet and professional, you know, or quiet and didn't want to, you know, say his side of the story as much. Remember when Tyron Smith was hotter than a, you know, whole nest of fire cracking hornets back there, whatever. Mark that.
Firecracker hornets.
Man, those sound scary, don't they? Firecracker hornets.
Sounds like they're coming from the tip of Africa and on their way. Run. Yeah. The firecracker hornets are coming to get us.
Gosh.
Well, thank you, Lucius. You can tune in 5:30 to see if the champ, what is this, 3 looking for 4 maybe today, something like that. Can make it 5. The champ faces the challengers, 5:30 every night, the G-Bag of the Day champion.
I think it's 2 looking for 3.
2 looking for 3.
Yeah.
All righty. We got Wolchuk's Top 10. It's brought to you by Cars for Kids. Donate today, carsforkids.org. Here's the Woolly Bully, Zach with an H.
All right, the people have spoken. We're going to do the Top 10 best sports movie scenes of all time. Now, this is in honor of Happy Gilmore 2. Did you guys get around to seeing it ever?
So I had to start watching Happy Gilmore 1 again just to get a refresher. It's been a long time.
Yeah.
Probably, I didn't watch the movie over and over again like a lot of us did.
Yeah.
I've probably seen it maybe once. So I got to go back and watch that. Man, and I'm in the middle of watching it right now, so okay. I can watch the happy and love it, you know?
So
the happy ending?
Yeah.
The list of cameos in Happy Gilmore 2. Yeah. It's ever growing.
Somebody described it as, I was happy the whole time I was watching it. That's the way I would describe it for myself because I got all the references. I understood that, you know, it wasn't going to be as good because Adam Sandler's kind of lost his fastball.
Damn.
And I just took it for what it was.
Yeah, it was, yes. I mean, I think
good entertainment.
It's about what I expected. You know, if you liked the first one, it's certainly not as good, but it has some great moments. I think some of the cameos are awesome in it. It's got some good callbacks. There were things that after I watched it that I saw that I didn't pick up the first time. Like, it might be one of those, the more you go back and watch it, kind of like Step Brothers. The first time I saw Step Brothers, I was like, is this awesome? And the more I watched Step Brothers, yes, this is an awesome movie. Maybe Happy Gilmore 2 will have that same effect over time.
Maybe. You know, I don't know. Like, there were several things that I would have loved to have editorial control on and change, no doubt about it.
Yeah, I mean, I would agree with you. Some of the storyline, I was like, what the hell are we doing here? But the 25 best sports movie scenes of all time, 877-881-1053. And without hesitation, I knew it. Our guy, Tim and Carthage, the 903, greatest scene in a sports movie, that last play in Friday Night Lights against Dallas Carter. Also gave a shout out to North Dallas 40. And he always, anytime we're talking sports movies, is like, well, Chuck, have you seen North Dallas 40?
It's yet? A good one. He's not wrong about that.
I know. I know. And the answer is no, I still haven't seen it. But eventually, one day, I will get around to watching that. You will be the first person that I tell, Tim. I promise you that.
I've been wondering this question for like 3 weeks, Brian. Mm-hmm. Did they have air conditioning up in that building on Mockingbird? It looked like a sauna.
Yeah, it. Man, that's a good question. Well, are you talking about the offices or where they practiced on Forest Lane?
Yeah, the gym or whatever. Yes, the Forest Lane gym.
Forest Lane.
Was that a tiny field house or something? Yeah, it looked like a sweat lodge.
Yeah, it was. It was not. I don't think it was. I think it was at. I'm saying this because I think there's somebody I know that'll ask. I got somebody I can ask that would know that. Just give me a minute. And I'll get right back to you because I don't want to say yes and it wasn't, but I do have somebody I can make a call. Like, yeah. Who's a millionaire? I'd like to make a call.
Yeah, let's do that.
I'll make a call.
Because I know back then a lot of those buildings, I mean, even today there's buildings that aren't air conditioned,
yeah.
You know, and it's part of the deal to maybe make you sweat a little bit more. It looks like Mike is trying to sweat a little bit more today at practice with this tracksuit he's got on.
Yeah, he's been rocking that hoodie out there. But wasn't it, Lucius, when we were out in Vegas, didn't Derek James tell us, like, they would work out and their gym was no AC?
Oh, yeah. Watch that, man. And it's a warehouse type of vibe. So it's like the heat is turning up in that thing. I started working out in, like, no AC lately just because of that.
You guys tell us that they were working, that they were training? When you were in Vegas, they were training in a metal place with a metal roof?
Yeah, that's it.
Okay,
yeah.
That's what you're talking about. I'm sorry.
Derek James.
I was bad.
Man, Friday Night Lights.
You're like, you're over there explaining it's a 2,100 square foot thing. And I'm like, hey, isn't that metal building you got?
Right, Lucius.
Hey, Lucius.
Kind of like a warehouse, right?
Right.
Is that warehouse that you were just talking about there? Yeah.
By the way, I don't mean to say this to Bobby Belt's behalf. The Jones family love AI Bryant.
Oh, they do?
Yeah.
Nice job, Belt.
Who doesn't?
They do.
They're hell, like, of a bit.
AI, I'm like, oh, the AI Bryant's pretty funny. I'm like going, you guys listen to that?
Like, Jake Audrey's really hurting the stars here.
Yeah, okay.
I don't see an otter anywhere.
Thanks. Appreciate that.
Yeah, an otter is crazy.
I don't see any ice outside of the stadium. How do I know that I'm going to a rink right now? This is wild. There are so many scenes in Friday Night Lights, so I think my favorite one's probably Preacher during his speech at halftime, and he's just going off. Like, they bleed just like we do. They sweat just like we do. And then they go out there, and well, they gave Dallas Carter a game. Any given Sunday.
The fighting for inches?
Yep. You got to climb with your fingernails for that inch. That's a good one. Dennis Quaid outside the ballpark in Arlington in the rookie from the 972. Oh, the scene where the Sandlot, they're just going back. You play ball like a girl, just dissing each other. I know the Sandlot's not one of your favorites, but I think that's iconic for a lot of us there, Dawson.
I thought it was misogynist, you know, for that line right there.
That's Rich coming from you.
Been protesting for decades.
And there's some sexual assault in the darn thing, too. Yeah. How about that?
Yeah.
And we all cheered it back then. Yeah, good for him, man.
Atta baby, Squints.
Way to go, bro.
I can't take it anymore. Other honorable mentions that we've got on here, the Little Giants. That's not a cheerleader. From Ed O'Neill.
Ice Tray.
Man, that's no cheerleader. That's my niece Becky. And she's pissed. She goes out there and just beats the crap out of those dudes in a cheerleader uniform. Mighty Ducks with the Flying V. Honorable mention. White Man Can't Jump. Woody hustles Wesley in that movie. I didn't see the remake of White Man Can't Jump. Did anybody else?
I didn't know it was cool. Yeah, it was all right. It was actually cool. What's the little rapper's name?
Oh, Jack Harlow?
Yeah, he was all right.
Was he good?
He was actually all right in that thing. Right. Yeah.
Maybe I'll end up watching.
It's pretty mid, but it's like it's a little bit above mid.
Okay.
You know?
So you like Happy Gilmore 2?
Yeah, it's like some street corn. Like, all right, I can get by with this, but it ain't hidden.
Right. Like, it's entertaining while I'm watching it. We got Rocky, I Must Break You with Ivan Drago. That was a great scene. If he dies, he dies.
I'm more of a, you ain't so bad.
You ain't so bad.
Come get with a real man.
Cool Runnings, when they all, at the end, they pick up the luge and the slow clap breaks out. That is fantastic. Cool Runnings is such an underrated movie.
It's a bobsled, isn't it?
Yeah. This is the luge. Mm-hmm. Yeah, the bobsled. Remember the Titans? Left side, strong side. left sides. There's so many in Remember the Titans you could choose from. The Speech and Miracle from Kurt Russell.
Yeah, again. That was a good one.
Yep. Tonight, are the greatest hockey team
in
the world. Their time. It's over. It's done. The Sandlot, the great.
These
Hambino.
Are all honorable mentions?
Yeah, these are all honorable mentions.
Yeah.
And then the Karate Kid, Wax On, Wax Off, number 11, just outside of the top 10.
You guys never saw the movie Brian's Song, did you?
A long time ago.
Oh, yeah.
When he gave the speech about tonight about Brian Piccolo, did that.
I don't remember the speech.
Yeah, but Gale Sayers gives a speech to his, like, about Brian Piccolo.
I remember being very touching. I was like, dang, they could make a movie back in the 60s.
Yeah,
the 972 at draft day. I mean, it is pretty amazing how he gets all his picks back and still gets Vontae Mack no matter what.
He's got that idiot down there in Jacksonville.
Of course. Well, that offer's not on the table. It was 60 seconds ago. We live in a different world now. Yeah. Number 10 is The Sandlot, the beast chasing Benny when it jumps over the fence. And just that is an iconic scene.
Is that when he pickled the beast?
He pickled the beast. Number 9.
Legend. Your bone was in my yard.
Why didn't you just knock on the door?
Yeah.
The Natural, the Homer off the lights. I mean, that is a gorgeous scene. Absolutely beautiful. Roy Hobbs' home run off the stadium lights. One of the most pristine that we'll ever see in a sports film. Field of Dreams. Speaking of James Earl Jones. People will come, Ray. People will most definitely come. As the ghost of the Chicago Black Sox stands beside him, behind him. The Karate Kid, the final fight in that movie, comes in at number 7.
Get him a body bag, yeah!
Number 6 is the Bob Barker fight in Happy Gilmore, which is iconic. And they do have a good ode to Bob Barker in Happy Gilmore, too.
Incredible.
5.
Shooter McGavin steals the show.
Maybe the most overrated sports movie of all time, but this is an iconic scene. Rudy getting carried off. And Rudy.
Yeah,
most iconic Notre Dame guy ever. Yeah. Which you can't name any other Notre Dame name guys like that. Just like off the top of your head, you can't do it. Joe Montana with the Notre Dame, fam.
Yeah, he did. He
Manti
sure
Teo
did.
And it's still Rudy, bro.
Tim Brown, yeah.
Manti
Teo's girlfriend.
Lene Kukua.
That's a pull. That is a pull right there, Lene.
Was that her name?
Yes.
Yeah, supposedly?
Well, her fake name.
She sounded like that.
I'm alive, honey. I'm not dead. I didn't die in that car accident. I'm alive. 4, Major League, the Wild Thing entrance. I mean, that is freaking badass. Just that entire stadium standing up.
County Stadium in Milwaukee.
Singing along. Yeah, that's epic.
What about Kenny Powers? You're effing out. Yeah. It's iconic.
Yeah. 3, A League of Their Own. There's no crying in baseball. That's an iconic scene with Tom Hanks.
How about Newt Rockne's speech? Is that coming up as number 1?
No.
Ronald Reagan's speech is Newt Rockne, not the number 1?
No, it wasn't. But do you know the speech?
Got to win
for the
Dipper.
Dipper.
There we go. You want to lay it down, B?
Yeah. We got to run. We got to tackle.
Yeah. Run.
We got to block. Yeah. That's what I always gave speeches like that in the 20s.
The Coach Carter speech. I mean, there's a lot of epic speeches in some of these movies. That We Are Marshall from 903. Like, that's a great movie. I can't think of like
one. I never saw that one.
Oh, it's a tearjerker.
Yeah, that one's.
We Are Marshall is a tearjerker.
Got to run the veer.
936, Blue Chips, the Meltdown press conference.
Yeah. That was good. Nick Nolte there as the coach did a fine job.
He was good.
I thought Yo Adrian, we did it, was so much better than I Will Break You. You know.
Oh, well, we'll get to.
Was Nick Nolte in another 48 hours? 48 hours. I was watching that. I think that was Nick. Hard R's, bro.
Yeah.
I was like, Nick. Yeah. Eddie Murphy. What? What's going on, bro?
Yeah.
He's an intense actor. He's an intense actor.
How much did they pay Eddie for that, dog?
Mm. Yeah. We got Tobey Maguire. Who's coming with me from the 214? Facing the Giants from the 817. I don't know which scene, though, you're referring to.
Show me the money.
Specific scenes. Okay, number 2, Show Me the Money.
Show me the money.
Maguire.
They ruined that movie with the love story.
Too much love?
Yeah.
You got to try and make it for everybody, right? That's what they're trying
to
do.
You want
to. They're trying to create the box office hit. And it worked. I mean, it worked. I mean, Jerry Maguire is one of the most iconic films of that era. And Show Me the Money, without a doubt. Everybody knows that line. If you haven't seen the movie,
Because the world's a bunch of suckers.
Not one more yard.
You wouldn't feel him, Renee Zellweger?
No. You wouldn't feel
him? Was it the face?
Like she's sucking on lemons.
Like she's sucking lemons.
I mean, there was a lot to it that I didn't think was the best.
Not your thing?
Yeah.
The Replacement singing I Will Survive in Jail. That's an outstanding scene. Show Me the Money got texted. I'm trying to, Any Given Sunday, Inch by Inch, we mentioned that. Mm-hmm. The Friday Night Lights. I don't think the whipped cream scene was in Friday Night Lights 2-1-4. I think that's a different movie that you're thinking of. And shout out to Ali Larder. But number one is the Rocky One montage. Climbing the steps. And, I mean, that has been... He's got a statue in Philadelphia for that. Like, that is probably the... I mean, I'm with you on Yo Adrian, but that probably is the most iconic scene in the Rocky series.
Yeah, I mean, she was just so worried that he was going to die.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and she didn't think he could do it or it wasn't worth it. She just wanted a simple life, and, you know, he still wanted to realize his dreams, but she couldn't even be present, you know? So I really felt the emotion in that one. Okay, it's the G-Bag Nation here on 105 through the Fan. The top stories at 3 coming up at 3 o'clock. We'll take a look at some more Ranger storylines and everything happening at Cowboys training camp coming up at 3:20 in the C-Note. Little best of the weekend for the Chief, though, next, huh, Wolchuk?
Yeah, let's do it. We have the MLB version of Firefest and a lot of beef. That's next.
Thank you, Lucius. It's the G-Back Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. Cowboys practice going on right now. We'll give you highlights of that and the top Cowboys headlines of the day coming up at 3 and 3:20 as we move into the C-Note. But right now, it's time for the best of the weekend. Here's Wolchuk.
Man, we had a bunch of track and field stuff going down over the weekend. Lucius, I know you're loving, you're big into track. Did you watch yesterday with Noah Lyles?
Yes, NBC app is beautiful. Yeah, man. Woo! We watched it. He stared my man down.
Yes, the shove.
Stared him down. Yes, good.
And then afterwards... They're like, no, hey, I expect a call. If we got a problem.
Yeah.
Which I get. I understand.
Good drama.
But I love it. I love the competition as Noah Lyles was able to fetch and catch Bednarik after he crossed the line. Bednarik wins the silver medal. He gave him a little bit of a shove. They're staring at each other. Noah Lyles looks back like, what the bleep, dude? And then afterwards, Noah Lyles said, if he had a problem, I expect a call. That's all I'm saying. Bednarik said, all right, we'll talk after this. So I'm sure they ended up having that conversation. But Bednarik won the 100 meters this weekend, then Noah Lyles was able to catch him to win the 200 meters, and then both are going to face off at the World Championships in Tokyo next month, so that's adds to the drama and the intrigue of that. But, I mean, track and field this time of year, and the swimming, always, I think, events that I'm definitely going to be plugged into. We had a Texas
This is great
school.
Drama. I did not catch this.
Oh, did you watch it?
Yeah.
It's awesome.
Yeah, the push happens, like, get out of my way, and then like, 10 seconds later, he's like, oh, my bad, I didn't mean to do that. Can we shake hands?
Yeah. We'll smooth it over. Just in the moment, frustration, no big deal. I'm sorry, I apologize. But we had a Texas high schooler setting an 800-meter under-18 world record, qualifying for the World Championships. Cooper, and this is a tough last name, but he goes to Northwest, Eric's old high school in Fort Worth. Cooper Lutkenhaus, I believe is how he pronounces his last name, but that's going to be badass. We had a local kid setting the time of 142.27, just crushing the world record for the 800 meters. So congratulations to you, and shout out to the Northwest Texans as they are going to have a future Olympian representing our great country.
Wow. Unreal. Moving. Unreal. That's amazing, dude.
Just flying. Now we
what is that, two times around?
Yeah.
Shit.
That's different. It's
a
different,
A full-on
man.
Sprint. For two laps.
Yeah.
It's crazy. We were supposed to get Tyreek Hill versus Noah Lyles in a race this summer. That did not end up happening. But the trouble just keeps on brewing there in South Beach, man. So Tyreek Hill takes the podium, and he's not happy with their short yardage usage. Now, remember, we played a couple weeks ago as they opened up camp, and he said, well, Tyreek needs to kind of repair some of the relationships. He gave him the peace sign and said, I want out of here.
He said, come back with your hat in hand.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't think Tyreek's going to do that. I don't think that's the way that Tyreek operates. But Miami converted just over 36% of their third down attempts a year ago. By comparison, the league-leading Tampa Bay Buccaneers, 51.1%. So Damn. They were pretty awful on third down, and they were really bad on third and short. So what can they do better? Well, here was Tyreek Hill's response.
Take Devon out on third down. What? You want to? That's my honest opinion. if it's third and short, he's not a power back. I be telling him that in the locker room, but he saw he a power back. I love Devon, though, but if I'm being honest, like, that's why you got Jalen Wright. That's why you got Ollie Gordon for those kind of situations.
No, not wrong. You've got Devon Achane, who is 5'9", 191 pounds, and he's 15 for 34 in short yardage situations over the course of his career. Meanwhile, Jalen Wright, who I loved 2 years ago out of Tennessee, he's 5'10", 208. I wouldn't really specify him as a short yardage back either, but he's more equipped than Achane. And Ollie Gordon is a big boy. That dude I certainly would use as a short yardage back. But I don't think Mike McDaniel took too kindly to this suggestion. Actually, he kind of seemed like he felt this had already been fixed. Here was McDaniel at the podium.
I thought it was genius reporting by Tyreek, seeing how we had a short yardage period that very day that you guys were in attendance for. And his suggestion was, I guess, congruent with Coach Studesville. That's exactly how we repped the backs in that short yardage period that very day. But we thought it was funny that he reported the news that wasn't news on that practice day in that short yardage period that you guys were all there too for.
That's weed.
So, yeah, great. I mean, smart thinking on Tyreek's part, but the team had already made the adjustment, I suppose.
Yeah, already made the adjustment.
Coach said, go bleep yourself, Tyreek.
Yeah, it seems like there's something here. Like, as a GM, I think you should be trying to move on from one or both. It doesn't seem like...
Well, the GM's in a bad situation, too.
Yeah.
Chris is... He's basically got one foot in the parking lot too. So I mean, they're all trying to survive out there. That's
got dumpster
problem.
Fire written all over it. People are trying to grab, you know, any seat on the life raft as they jump off and maybe blaming others. But you know, Tyreek is giving me pretty good TO vibes here. Like, man, I'm just giving my honest opinion.
Man,
well, you guys have a problem with honesty?
Yeah.
And it's not that big of a deal. It's actually kind of funny. Like, if they'd be winning, it'd be funny. Like, yeah, take Achane out. What are we doing? I tell him the same thing to his face in the locker room. You know, but with the losing and with the history now building between Tyreek and McDaniel.
Exactly. Yeah, and you could just tell how done Mike McDaniel is. Like, dude, we literally repped exactly what you're saying in practice, and now you're trying to just basically throw. I mean, he wants to get out of there, so I see what Tyreek Hill is doing. But, yep, that bold prediction, Mike McDaniel, first coach fired. I'm liking that one.
I really think teams, if you're a head coach and it's gone bad, instead of bringing a guy in to let the Titanic sink, they want to let that coach, like last year, Mike McCarthy, play this thing out. Then we'll get a fresh start with a new coach. But you don't want to bring in a new coach to this dumpster fire and let it blow up. You want to bring in a new coach when you draft the quarterback next year.
Couple of teases potentially. I'm not sure what you've got cooking up here, Lucius, for G-Bag of the Day, but the 817, what were the thoughts on Sean going off on that listener this morning? Is that possibly going
to be... That is definitely in the bag.
A nominee? Okay.
Yeah. Thick bag today, bro.
Very thick.
Yeah, it's bussing. It's bussing.
Thick. Are we going to get into this Dez Bryant, Nicki Minaj, Jerry, Jay-Z beef?
I would love to if somebody could explain it to me. I don't know how she got so mad at him for... You know,
what started off, it seemed kind of playful between the two sides. Like, do you want to play a game?
He kind of backed up a little bit. Dez was being smart. He didn't want any smoke with Nicki, and I don't blame him. She basically has a whole country behind her. There's 4 million followers. Mm-hmm. They're all barbs. They'll troll you for the rest of your life, even when you're talking about something that has nothing to do with her, as long as she says attack. He tried to play it off, but she didn't. She's not seeing that.
Mm. Yeah.
She's not seeing that.
No. I mean, it got real personal. I felt bad for Dez last night.
Very personal.
Some of this stuff being drug out there, it's just not cool.
She's doing this thing called Queen Radio. She'll clean you out, bro. Queen Radio was amazing.
That's definitely...
Yeah, she's a ranter for sure.
Yeah.
Queen from Queens.
Dez bit off more than he could chew with this one. And I think that he is absolutely doing the right move. Like, I'm a fan.
Bad lady. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I am sorry.
Why'd she get mad at him?
Well, it was, you know, he came out initially and wanted to unload the Jerry Jones laundry.
He wanted to defend himself because his name was mentioned in that little conversation that Jerry had.
I saw
that. He was like, hey, man, don't say my name unless you want me to start saying your name about some things.
I love that, too. I had my popcorn out.
And then Nicki Minaj replied and said, how about we play a game? Every time you do a Jerry Jones or NFL story, I'll do a story time of my own. And it seemed like he was going to be like, okay, fun. And then the next thing you know... It got real personal.
There's a lady that works for Roc Nation that Nikki is not a big fan of. Mm-hmm. And that person that works for Roc Nation is also, you know, of course, affiliated with Jay-Z. And they've made business decisions together with Jerry Jones. Yeah. In fact, well, they signed that contract together. They negotiated Jay-Z's contract. So it's nasty. And she's like, if you're not going to sit up here and hate Roc Nation with me, then you are food.
Yeah. Okay. Oh, wow. All right.
Yeah. And she definitely let him have it. But oof.
And then he crawfished on it?
Well, at first he went right back at her.
Oh.
And said some very not nice things and brought up the husband.
Yeah, the husband got a little funny case in his life.
No. Yeah. Oh, I saw that.
Yeah, bro.
And then after that, I think he started getting the backlash, as Lucius mentioned, from Nikki's fans.
Yeah.
And he said, okay, I'm going to step aside on this
one. Yeah, they don't play, bro.
This is not worth it. And shout out to you, realizing in real time. This is not worth it. Brian, were you paying attention to the Speedway Classic over the weekend?
Just want to hit that right there after desk, Brian, conversation.
Bristol Motor Speedway. We had the Major League Baseball game.
I saw. I did not watch the game, but I was watching like the highlights of them hitting home runs and the car going around the track.
Yeah, and it was Reds and it was Braves. Now, unfortunately, we had the rain out.
Had hot dog buns. We had a lot of problems there.
A lot of issues.
Can we have problems at the Bristol Motor Speedway? We had like 100,000 people there.
Didn't have enough food. We had food was completely gone in a hurry, and it was sad because Major League Baseball's out there. They're promoting like, oh, my gosh, we're going to have great things. We got special egg rolls. We got city-specific hot dogs. We got street corn. Food looked delicious. Unfortunately, it ran out, and the fans were ticked. Major League Baseball, this game is unacceptable. It's awful logistics. There's no food except bunless hot dogs and cheeseless nachos, multiple shuttles to even get in the stadium, completely unprepared. Now, the one pushback.
There's no parking at this place, by the way.
It was bad.
Hey, from television, it looked amazing.
Yeah, no.
When it finally got to going, you're like, okay, this is cool to hit home runs. There's a Corvette coming across.
It's a difficult place to get to because it's right on the Tennessee-Virginia border.
And it set a record for attendance, but I think here was the problem, and this was like, who's to blame in this? Well, you do, and you would, for those that attend races, you're allowed to bring a cooler.
You're allowed to bring your own food in.
And Bristol Motor Speedway, I don't think accounted for. Major League Baseball does not allow this.
Yeah.
So and Shane, I mean, they should
be able to do this at the old Texas Rangers ballpark, though. By the way, I bring Earl Campbell's in there all the time.
I wish they still allowed this.
And vodka.
Yeah. And the water bottles.
Yeah.
That's a great way to go see a ball game and save a ton of money. But you're not allowed to do that anymore. And I don't know if maybe the Speedway did not account for that. Mm. But you know how many tickets you've sold. And you should be able to get kind of a rough estimate of, I know how much food and beverage I need. Mm-hmm. But evidently they didn't. And I don't know if they were able to adjust for the fact that people do not bring their own food and beverages to this. But it ended up being a bleep show for fans.
I saw hot
attendance.
Dogs without buns. That's kind of
it was bad. Yeah. And you're basically just giving stale tortilla chips without nacho cheese.
Yeah.
Like, what the hell are we doing? Really bad. Last thing here.
Put some sliced cheese on it and call it British.
Maybe it'll,
You see how they get down with nachos? Yeah, they put it on their fries and just slice the cheese. Yeah. Like Kraft cheese onto some French fries.
And you tuna should see, like, on their potatoes.
In Green Bay.
This is 9 pounds.
Yeah. In Green Bay, we had this.
Bollocks.
This place called El Bandidos in Green Bay. It was a Hispanic restaurant, Mexican food restaurant there. And I honestly went to, it's packed. It was packed every single time. And I could have gone to Tom Thumb and got an El Chico frozen dinner that was better than what they served us in this place. But it was packed. The people was, we need to go to Los Banditos. I'm like, listen, when we go back to Dallas for a game, I'll take you to eat some real Mexican food there. And they're like, oh, this is not good. I'm like, I'm just telling you, when we go to Dallas, I'll hook
and
you guys.
And what city were you in?
We were Green Bay.
Man, my grandfather in Fort Wayne swore by Bandidos.
Yeah.
You know?
Los Bandidos was the name of it. And it was packed every single night. And I'm like, and I went over there one time and I'm like, this is, you guys don't get it, man. You just don't get it.
No, not at all. I think we were still putting ketchup on Mexican food here until about 1990 or so. Yeah.
Pulling salsa.
It was rough trying to get some culture there coming out of the Midwest and Northwestern cuisine.
Steak places all day, though.
Thank you, Woolchuck.
I'm with you.
Okay, best of the weekend in the books. We'll come back and get you dialed here on the Texas Rangers. What's coming up for them, including a murderer's row of pitchers they're going to have to face. And we'll preview our discussion with CY coming up at 4:20. It's the G-Bag Nation here on your home of the Cowboys and Rangers, 105.3 The Fan.